May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Luke 24, it says in verse 49, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." In Acts chapter 1, speaking again of this particular promise of the Holy Spirit, it says in verse 4, "And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised." In Acts chapter 2, verse 33, "Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise." And in verse 38 and 39 of chapter 2, "And all Peter said to them was, repent, let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children." Christianity began in terms of it being fully alive and being sent forth into the world with promise. It's the word he uses over and over again, gift. Galatians chapter 4 tells us that as a believer, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian because of the gift of God. But we can choose to live our lives according to the flesh or according to promise. And those who live their lives according to promise are children of the free woman. They live in freedom. Those who live their lives as children of the bondwoman, they do live their life in slavery to their own self-effort. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. "Tell me, you who want to be under law," and under law is about having an external standard and giving the best external effort you can, even with sincerity, to be accepted before God. "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman," that's Ishmael, "and one by the free woman," which is Sarah. If you remember, Sarah gave birth to a child, and she gave birth to a child, Isaac, just supernaturally. God promised it. She was totally incapable of giving birth. She was barren and she was too old, and yet God did it. He kept his promise. It was all the activity of God. Ishmael was the result of Abraham trying to help God, and by his own self-effort, cohabitating with one of the servant ladies, and gave birth as a result of his own self-effort, Ishmael. Again, the son of the bondwoman, which would be Hagar, who gave birth to Ishmael, was born according to the flesh, self-effort. And the son of the free woman, Isaac, is through Sarah, through the promise. And this contains an allegory. For these women are two covenants, two approaches to life, two approaches to live in relationship with God. One proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Sinai is where the law was given. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above, heavenly, is free. She is our mother, for it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more are the children of the desolate, the inadequate, the incapable, than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, if you're a Christian, you're born again, you're a child of the promise. But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is also now. For what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the free woman shall not be an heir with the son of the bondwoman. Here's the point. He's talking to Christians who are born again because of the grace of God. And all they had to do was believe and receive God's promise. and they were supernaturally born again. If you're a Christian, it's because God did something supernatural in response to your faith. It was all His activity. By grace, we're saved through faith. That's a gift of God, not a result of works, but it's just a gift from God. But the problem is that many people who are children of grace live as if they're children of the law. And if you're a Christian, you still have two choices. You can choose as if you were a child of the promise, or you can choose as if you're a child of the flesh. Living the Christian life by your own sincere self-effort, and the consequences of that kind of Christian life is exhaustion, frustration, anger, and guilt, because self-effort can't produce. It's totally dependent on your adequacy and your willpower. And sadly, the vast majority of Christians live that kind of Christian life. And he says they're in slavery to this day. To be enslaved to your own adequacy, to your own willpower, and to your own self-effort is one horrible way to live. And there's nothing supernatural about it. But to live as the son or the child of the free woman, which you are, is to live according to promise. And what that verse said is this: Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more are the children of the desolate than the one who has a husband. It's not dependent on your adequacy or your ability or your willpower to live the Christian life. It's always according to promise. When you live like a child of promise, you're not dependent on your ability. As a matter of fact, you're free to come clean and admit that apart from His grace and His power at work in your life, you are totally barren and incapable of producing a consistent godly life. That was one of the most liberating days in my life, 30-something years ago, when I was able to come clean before God and tell Him, I can't do this thing. I'm weak and I'm totally inadequate. And to hear God say, whew, I've known that from the moment you became a Christian, and I'm glad that you finally figured that out, because now I can do for you what you could never do for yourself. Now your life can be supernatural. But because the consequences of living by promise is that you're utterly dependent on Him to do it every minute of every day, to be faithful, and He always is, and the consequences aren't exhaustion and frustration and anger and guilt. The consequences are a supernatural life that only the promise keeper can perform. And so he says, what has to happen is we have to cast out the bondwoman. We have to come to a place where we absolutely cast out the idea that by my own adequacy and by my own ability, I can live the Christian life, and embrace the fact that I'm needy, and apart from Him, I'm barren, and I'm totally weak, and that's okay with Him, because in my weaknesses, His strength is made perfect. And no matter how naturally adequate you think you might be, to live one day and you act out your adequacy completely for one whole 24-hour period is nothing like admitting your weakness and living by His supernatural power for 24 hours. The best you have to offer is nothing compared to the least He can offer. The Christian life is meant to be supernatural. Either live by promise, in absolute utter dependence on Him in faith, and you're free, or you live in slavery because you're trying to do it yourself. And there's nothing supernatural about that life. As a matter of fact, after a while, you'll just learn to fake it. You know you're falling apart on the inside. You know the junk going on the inside. You just can't afford for any of the other church people around you to figure that out. It's so cool just to come clean, take off the veil, and admit that you can't, but He can. And He lives in you to prove it every minute of every day. You can't live for Him any more than you could get saved without Him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.